Hi, I'm Susan Griazda with the City of Ames. I've been with the city 16 years and I still learn new things every day about this organization. The Ames City Council has made a commitment to valuing environmental sustainability, and there are many City of Ames programs that support this goal. Today, I'm having a discussion with Energy Services Coordinator Kaylee Barrios-Lane to learn more about the sustainability initiatives in Ames Electric Services. Kaylee, welcome.
Thank you, Susan. Good to be here.
Can you tell us first a little bit about your job and your background and your responsibilities?
Sure. So my job is, I might be biased, but I would say I have the most fun job here in electric services. My background is in mechanical engineering in energy systems, but I've done a lot to expand my toolbox to work with all sorts of projects that support energy transition as a whole. So really I focus on energy transition, what allows us to transition from one energy source to another, from one type of energy system to another, what allows us to transition our energy systems into something more reliable, more sustainable, and more usable for a healthy society and community. So in this position, I have a lot of exciting things going on. I managed our end of the construction of the SunSmart Solar Program. I'm also working on projects like the Baker Subdivision geothermal installation. I manage the suite of demand side management projects, which includes the smart energy rebates. And I get to talk to people every day who use electricity in the city in different ways. So I talk to residents, I talk to businesses and manufacturing facilities, all sorts of people who use electricity, and I have the opportunity to help understand how we can serve them better.
Wow, that's a big job. I know that Ames Services has year-round programs aimed at conserving electricity. Why is electric conservation important?
Great question, and it's an important question. Conserving electricity is important because every time our community as a whole increases its overall need for electricity, we have to increase our capacity of electric generation. We have to increase our capacity to serve more electricity to the community, and that has a lot of costs associated with it. It also has a lot of environmental impact associated with it. So we work to help our customers find ways to use electricity more efficiently. We also work to make our system even more reliable and even more sustainable than it was before. So we do that by incorporating more renewable resources into our portfolio. We have 336 megawatts worth of wind capacity that comes out of a farm near Colo, near Ziering, Iowa. We've also transitioned from coal to natural gas. That was an important aspect of reducing our emissions factor as a utility. We have a new 2-megawatt community solar farm on the south side of town. And we have a lot of programs that help our customers purchase more energy efficient appliances. For example, washing machines, dryers, air conditioners, that are just a little bit more efficient. And we also have rebates that help people switch to entirely different technologies that are far more efficient than whatever appliance they might have been using before. So we have rebates for solar panels. We have rebates for geothermal systems. We even have rebates for passive solar water heating. So those are just some of the things that we do to help our customers conserve electricity and use more renewable electricity.
So you mentioned a lot about the rebates, the smart energy rebates, helping customers make that energy efficient choice. I'm just curious, listening to some of the rebates that you're offering, it seems to me that they must be kind of evolving over time.
They are. This is an exciting time in the broader history of energy transition, of this current energy transition that we're in. So for many decades, the goal of the utility has just been to conserve electricity and reduce the usage of electricity. Because of some changes in technology recently, we now have the opportunity not just to conserve electricity, conserve natural gas, but some technologies are switching from one energy source to another. So we have an opportunity to look more holistically at our energy use, not just specifically at electricity usage, and then apart from that, look at natural gas usage, apart from that, look at gasoline usage. These technologies are allowing us to switch from one fuel source to another fuel source. And some of those technologies allow us to make huge dents in our greenhouse gas emissions when we make that switch. For example, electric vehicles emit about half or less than half, depending on the kind of car, greenhouse gas emissions that a gasoline vehicle would emit. So that's a situation where, you know, we're used to just conserve and reduce. And now we're looking at a situation where we could actually reduce our greenhouse gas emissions by increasing our electricity usage. So we're in this very unique place in the history of this current energy transition where we have to double down on the conservation measures in other areas so that we can afford to expand our electricity usage into different appliances without expanding our overall usage. So we're looking at absorbing a whole new use of electricity in transportation and still trying to keep our overall electricity usage no higher than it's been in the past. So it's a huge challenge and it's really exciting to be a part of.
So just in a more common usage in my time here, the idea of moving from an incandescent light bulb to a CFL light bulb to an LED light bulb, those used to be incentivized because you wanted people to just keep going to the next smarter technology. That whole system has changed, correct?
It is. It's advancing, I would say. There are still some advances to be made in the efficiency of some of the things. If you haven't switched to LEDs, I highly recommend it. We're not rebating them anymore just because they make so much sense even without a rebate. So we've decided to shift those funds into rebating newer technologies that need a little bit more help right now that are newer in the market. So there are areas where you can make efficiency improvements still. But we are, yes, you're right, we're focusing more now on these new opportunities that are not just advancing the efficiency of the same type of appliance as before, but it's a whole different appliance. It's a whole new technology. For example, you know, we used to encourage you just to up your SEER, the efficiency rating of your air conditioner, maybe jump from a 14 SEER to a 16 SEER. Now, I mean, we'll still support you in making that transition, but in addition to that, we would support you in switching to a geothermal technology that's going to make a jump instead of, say, maybe 90% efficient to 95% efficient with heat pumps, you jump to 400% efficient because it's a whole different kind of technology that's not limited in the ways that the older technologies are.
Wow, it seems like there's a lot of progress being made. But for those of us who are a little slower to adapt and evolve, what are some of the smaller energy efficiency projects maybe we could do around the house that would make a difference?
Sure, absolutely. We still have plenty of those. So like I said, if you haven't switched to LEDs, highly recommend that. They're a little bit more expensive up front. But really, the cost has come down quite a lot on those, even in the original upfront cost, and they'll save you money down the road. They last a lot longer, they use much less electricity, and a lot of people are appreciating the new opportunities in lighting in terms of colors. So some people before didn't like the LEDs because they were only available in a very white color, but now there are all sorts of different options. So you can find a color of light that works for you. Air conditioners are another great one. If you're not ready to make the jump to geothermal, that's completely understandable. It's a big commitment. Just update your air conditioner to a higher SEER level, a higher efficiency level. that's awesome as well. Look for the Energy Star logo on your clothes washers, clothes dryers, dishwashers, dehumidifiers, all of those appliances in your refrigerators. All of those appliances can make a big difference in the amount of electricity that your home uses. We also have rebates on electric vehicles. So again, that's maybe a bigger shift than all of us are ready for. But if you're looking at an electric vehicle, you know, they're more reasonable now than ever. We've got a lot more EV charging available, not just in Iowa, but beyond. It's getting much and much easier for us to get around with electric vehicles. And, you know, somebody told me recently that they plan to, in a two-car household, they plan to switch just one of those cars to an EV. So then anytime you're running around town doing errands, picking up groceries, you can use the EV. And even on shorter trips, if you have to run to the courthouse or run to Des Moines, the EV is great for that. You'll save a lot of money. It's super convenient. You can charge right in your own garage. It's ready for you in the morning. They're really fun to drive. They're powerful. They're quiet. And then you still have that gas vehicle, that internal combustion engine vehicle in the garage to do the longer road trips. So if you have a 2+ car household, that's a really slick solution that I've seen a lot of people going for lately.
Wow, it sounds exciting. You've got light bulbs all the way up to electric vehicles. When you look into the future, I mean, it sounds like you see a lot of big things coming. Are there other things on the horizon you want to talk about?
Sure. It's hard to pick, Susan. It really is, because you're right. There are a lot of big things coming, and it's very exciting. Some of the newer projects we've been involved in, Iowa State has a project. Iowa State University Research Group has partnered with the Iowa National Guard, Power Film, Sun Crate out of Sioux City, and they put together this solar crate. It's a shipping crate filled with batteries with solar panels on top, and they've got a backup diesel generator attached to it as well. And this crate is intended to serve the purpose of a backup power in an emergency situation, probably in like a storm type of situation, most likely something like the derecho that we saw last year. And it can offer power to maybe an emergency operations center, or to a cell tower, or to water pumps, or things like that. So we're looking at different ways to support our community in all sorts of situations and all sorts of emergencies. And that's one of them that's been pretty fun. So right now, we're actually testing out that system, that solar crate, right outside the power plant near Banshell Park here on East 5th Avenue. East 5th Street. And they're offering free EV charging. So if you have an electric vehicle, you want to pop it off while you're running around Main Street, enjoying some Main Street businesses, you can park it over here by the power plant, plug it in, and charge it up for free for a while. So that's been a fun project to be a part of.
Well, that's great. Sounds like you have your plate full of projects and programs. And lots more to come.
Yes, we have more than our fair share of fun over here.
Well, I'd like to thank you for spending some time with us. That was Kaylee Barrios-Lane, Energy Services Coordinator with the City of Ames Electric Services. You can learn more about our efforts promoting sustainability within the City of Ames at our website, cityofames.org/sustainability.